Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
As we come to the table this afternoon, I just felt we would talk for the few moments we have about the table of the Lord. And I'd like you to open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Now, just to give you the background of the story here, the Lord Jesus has performed that miracle of feeding the multitude of several thousand people out in the wilderness with those five loaves and the two fishes. And you remember how he multiplied them and fed the multitude. Then he went up into the mountain to pray. The disciples went out in one of their ships and went across to Capernaum. Capernaum, which is up in the north end of the Sea of Galilee, and quite a lovely area actually. The old synagogue, or the remains of it, are still standing there. And Jesus, as they went across, the storm came in the night, and Jesus met them in the midst of that storm, you'll remember, walking on the water, took them over to Capernaum. And the people in the morning saw that the ship was over there. They caught ships, and another means they got round to Capernaum, and he was ministering in the synagogue at Capernaum when this story begins. And in verse 30 of John 6, they said therefore unto him, and I would imagine this would be the priests of that synagogue, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Because Jesus had been telling them as he was preaching that they must believe on him. So they wanted a sign. And in verse 31, they said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. And you'll remember how in the wilderness, after Israel came out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, and there's no food, probably up to 3 million people in that wilderness, and it's a very real wilderness, and God provided manna each morning for them. We're told in the Bible that the manna was like hoarfrost on the ground in the morning, and that it tasted like honey wafers. It was something that quickly melted away with the heat of the sun. And for 40 years they lived on this. Tasted like honey wafers and coriander seed, according to the Bible. And so they say here in verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And I think they were here suggesting that Moses gave manna for 40 years and you only fed the people yesterday for one meal, suggesting that Moses was greater than him, and yet he was asking them to believe in him. And so they wanted a sign. In verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So Jesus said, Moses never gave you that manna which came from heaven. That came from my Father, and they're dead anyway. That manna didn't keep them alive. But there is a bread that will keep you alive. And he said, that's the bread that my Father sends down from heaven. And so they immediately said in verse 34, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And the example of that was the feeding of the multitude with those five loaves and two fishes the day before, in the natural sense. But he was not talking naturally. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He was trying to tell them that he, the living Christ, supremely satisfies. Now if we can turn on to verse 47. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." He was saying that bread which they had in the wilderness, it couldn't keep them alive. It couldn't give them eternal life. That was only a temporary life that it gave them. Verse 50, he says this, and he's talking about himself. He would be pointing to himself at that stage, I imagine. "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." And of course, he was not talking about the body. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. So we know he was talking about, the Bible never contradicts itself, he was talking about something outside of the body. And the death that the Lord Jesus was talking about, of course, was that death which means eternal separation from God. And he was saying, there is a bread which comes down from heaven, and I am that bread, and that if a man eat of that bread, then he shall never die. He shall never know separation from the living God, because real death is not the death of this taxi cab that carts us around, this bit of dust that we live in. Real death is being separated eternally from the presence of the Father. And whether we live in the presence of the Father eternally or whether we live in hell is a decision that we make in this life according to how we walk. Of course, this world, this Western world, has become so sophisticated that we laugh. Well, we might not, but the world laughs when you talk about hell. But of course, the Bible talks about hell, talks about it very clearly. There is a place called heaven, and there is a place called hell. And every man and woman of us here today will end up in one of those two places. Every man and woman in this world will end up in heaven or hell. And in our sophistication and in our intellect and with all our logic and rationalization and sense knowledge, we can laugh as much as we like at the Word of God. But it doesn't alter the fact that it is truth and that it shall come to pass in our lives. So every human being will end up in heaven or in hell. And because of the love of the Lord for humanity, he was telling them how they could be sure to end up in heaven. And he was telling them very simply. Verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." When the Lord uses the word flesh here in verse 51 and later on in verse 53 and verse 54, he's not talking of what we know of as flesh. He's not talking about that structure on top of our bones that we call flesh. He, of course, was using a figure of speech referring to the complete person, as we'll see in a moment in verse 57. So in verse 51, he says, "The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And here Jesus was explaining that substitutionary sacrifice that he was going to carry out. You all know the story so well. Let's remember it just for a moment again, though, before we come to the table today. We will recall that man sinned back in the Garden of Eden. God had said that the penalty for sin was what? Death. Wages of sin is death. And therefore, death came upon all humanity. Not only death to the flesh, but death spiritually, which means, as I said before, eternal separation from the presence of God. And this was the penalty that was upon all mankind. And the centuries went by, and mankind continued in his sin, not only continued in it, but it grew, and it enlarged, and it became more violent and more vicious and more filthy, right down to this generation. It's still doing that. For sin is a cancer, a spiritual cancer that keeps growing and expanding and destroying the body in which it is living, which is the body of humanity. And so God had to find an answer to sin if he wanted to save humanity. And the answer was a sacrifice. The answer was a substitutionary sacrifice, a sacrifice that God could accept as a substitute for all humanity. And so he wanted a man. It had to be a man. Man had sinned, therefore man had to pay the penalty for that sin. So he needed a sacrifice who could be destroyed, who could be killed, to pay the penalty for humanity. But it is a law of God that all sacrifice must be perfect. As we read of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, we'll read how the priests used to cut the skin open and pull the skin back and examine the flesh of the sacrifices, for they had to be perfect. God could not find a man who was perfect, because we were all of the seed of Adam. We were all in sin. And so he produced a new man. He produced the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Christ had to come of a virgin birth. Because if he had come of a normal birth, he would have had the seed of Adam in him. But God put his own seed into the womb of Mary. That was a wonderful miracle. And Mary brought forth a new man. Man that did not have the seed of Adam in him, but had the seed of God in him. And a new creation came forth. And he came forth for one specific purpose, that he might pay that penalty for sin for all of mankind, that he might be the Lamb of God, that substitutionary sacrifice who could pay the penalty for every one of us, so that we could be free before God, because our debt had been paid in full. And that's what the Lord is speaking about here. He's trying to express some of this. So he says in verse 53, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." I think he is trying to express here that God was going to do his part on the cross of Calvary, but that we must be willing to do our part. We must be willing to act. There's more than just believing. There is action. And God will never force us to take action. It must come from a desire within our heart. And the action we can take is not works, because God has never wanted works for salvation. Works are good. We need to do works, but not for salvation, rather as a result of salvation. So Jesus was saying, if you will eat of my flesh, which is what we're going to do today, and drink of my blood, which is what we're going to do today, not literally, but by faith, then he says you'll have eternal life. But you've got to do something about it. You've got to eat and drink, and you've got to eat and drink in faith, remembering that Christ paid your penalty for you. Remembering that your penalty having been paid, you are free to approach your God. You have access today through the body and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was explaining these things. Verse 55, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." I want to read verse 57 from the Amplified. "Just as the living Father sent me, and I live by, through, and because of the Father, even so Whoever continues to feed on me, who takes me for his food and is nourished by me, shall in his turn live through and because of me. He was saying, just as I live by the Father, so if you desire, you can live by me. Verse 58. This, speaking of himself, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Aren't they beautiful words? Jesus said in verse 63, it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So, beloved, as we come to this table today, Jesus commands us to eat and to drink in faith. This table and all that it stands for is the way to reality, is the way to everlasting life. And every one of us must labor to enter into that faith. It's not easy for any one of us. But it's our only means of going to heaven. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can our sins be forgiven, and our sins will separate us from God. And only as we push aside that motivation of self and self-interest and material gain, which is so strong in our community, only as we push that aside can we bring forth that true motivation, which is concern for our eternal life. That issue faces you here this afternoon as we come to this table. I wonder if you can reach out past the material bread of this life today and reach out and by faith truly partake of the real bread of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, represented here today by this crumb and by this cup, which in no way is his bread, his body and blood, but by faith as we eat it can become for us the partaking of him in place of the partaking of the world. The bread of eternal life is before you today. It's your choice whether you are going to exercise the faith to eat and drink today in remembrance of all he did for us, with faith that he is well able to bring you out of your sin, to wash you clean, and to present you before the Father as new creations in him. Can you say amen? Amen.